Jesus, today, we just want you to come and preach. We'd like to hear what you have to say. We want to hear your word, but we want to hear it with your ears. We want to hear it with your understanding. We want to hear it in our hearts the way you want us to hear it, that we would allow you to search us, to bring us into that place of being closer to you, knowing you, walking with you, hanging out with you. Jesus, today we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint both the words spoken and the words heard. And Lord, that you would be able to accomplish what you want. I ask you to convict of sin, convince of our lack of righteousness and our need for the righteousness of Christ, and call to your remembrance that judgment is coming. And Lord, that today we would get what we need from your word that would help us from this point forward to live with you, to walk with you in victory. And we just are asking you to come and change our lives, to bring us into oneness with you. Father, we want to exalt you in the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 3. Let's start with verse 1. Okay, let's read 1 through 21, okay?
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Amen. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. My favorite chapter, my favorite verse in the Bible is whichever one I'm reading. But it is. Every time I go to talk to somebody, I'll say, this is one of my favorite verses. It's like the other day it hit me. It doesn't matter what verse I'm on. They're all my favorite. I love the Word of God. I just love the Word of God. But years ago, God told me that John chapter 3 and verse 3 was my life's verse. It's my life's verse. John 3:3 says, except a man, Jesus said, of a truth, or surely. He says, I am giving you a solemn oath that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to ask you a question. I have asked this question at maybe a few hundred thousand doors. Go up, knock on the door, and ask this question. I'd say, hi, my name's Harvey. We go to such and such a church, whatever church we were going to at the time. And I would say, we're out in the neighborhood talking to folks about Jesus. Could I ask, would you like to talk about Jesus? Now, either they did or they didn't. If they didn't, God bless you. Have a good day. And I'd go to the next house. But when they'd say yes, and I would ask them this question. So I'm asking you, if you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? If you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? Ask yourself, when, and I'm asking you, when did your life change? When did your life begin with Jesus? When did your life start over with Jesus? When did you get delivered from hell? Do you know that every single person is a sinner? Nod or say something. Do you know every single person is a sinner on the planet? Okay? I mean, if they're breathing, they're a sinner. Okay? Okay? I've met people and they said, I said, have you ever lied? No, I never did. I said, you just did. I said, because when you go door to door, you run into, I mean, people do all kinds of things. They say all kinds of stuff. Have you ever lied? Nope. You just did. That's right. That's right. And see, liars will be friars. How many times does somebody have to steal to be a thief? How many times does somebody have to lie to be a liar? Have you ever read Revelation 21:8? Let's turn there just for a second. Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. Are you there? I'm waiting. Okay, hang on. Revelation 21:8. I remember when that person showed me that. I said, really? Revelation 21:8. Hang on, I'm going to help you. You ready? You need help, all you got to do is just raise your hand and I'll say, hey, I'll help you. Dude, it's like a study Bible or something. Dude. Gotta go way back here. Somebody, this is a commentary and everything. It's great. Where it is? Verse 8. 21:8. You there?
You got it.
It says, but the fearful, this is talking about who's going to hell. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. And then I've shown this to people and they said, well, I'm none of those. And I said, well, what about that last little phrase, three words? And all liars. That's why I said to the person, have you ever lied? And he goes, no. That's it. I said, you just did. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you know there was two deaths? Do you know there was two deaths? Okay, then pay attention. You will. Okay? The first death is a physical death. The word death means separation. If you were to, somebody was to stick a knife in my heart and turn it, okay, this body would die. That's the first death. It's a physical death. It's a separation of the real me, my spirit, my soul, and my body. The second death is a separation from God forever of the real me. You see, for example, I cannot see joy. Can you see joy?
Yes.
I can't. And the reason, and I know, you know what? Thank you. So glad you're up front. Now watch this. The reason I can't see her is because I can only see her body. This is a temporary house she lives in. She may live in it for 40 years. She may live in it for 70 years or 100 years. But eventually, joy is going to move out of that house. Okay? This is a temporary house that she lives in. Okay? The real joy I cannot see. The real joy is an eternal spirit. It's a spirit that lives forever. Did you know that you were alive before you came to this earth? Did you know that? Okay. Well, we're going to look that up just so that I can show it to you right now. Okay? Where's the verses? I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Ecclesiastes is like Psalms, which is in the middle of the Bible. And then go to the right a little bit. Didn't I say that right? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Yeah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Sometimes I get a little mixed up here. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. I had a senior moment. Okay. Sometimers. Jeremiah, and then we're going to go to Jeremiah 1:5. Okay? Somebody want to read Ecclesiastes 12:7? Who's? You got it, Brian? Okay. Okay. Good, as long as you're doing that. Okay, I know. Good. Go ahead. Ecclesiastes 12:7.
Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
It's talking about our body. When we die, our body's going to return to the dust. Dust to dust, ash to ash, and all that. Okay? And it says, and the spirit is going to return unto God who gave it. We're an eternal spirit. Who's got Jeremiah 1:5? Who's got Jeremiah 1:5? Already looked up. Come on, somebody. Go ahead, Janaya. Jeremiah 1:5.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Before you were born into this world, this physical world, you were already alive. You were a God is a spirit. Patty just talked about that in reading that this morning in John chapter 4. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is an eternal being, okay? He is a spirit. We are spirits, and God puts us here on this earth. We get to live on this earth for a while in a body, okay? I said all that because we're going to come back to that. I was asking you, are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? When I knocked on doors and people would come to the door and I would ask that question, here was the answer I got most of the time. I hope so. If you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? I hope so. I think so. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm working on it. It was always one of those five. And what I would ask them is, I don't want to use joy, so we use wine. And I would, so when somebody gave me that answer, I would say to them, do you have clothes on? And they'd look at me like I was weird. They go, what? I said, do you have clothes on? And they go, yeah. I said, do you know you have clothes on? Or are you hoping so and trying and working on it and doing your best? Think so. Well, I know I have clothes on. But you don't know you're going to heaven. You think you're going. You hope you're going. You wish you're going. You want to go. You're doing your best. You're trying. You're working on it. I said, the reason that you don't know so is because you don't have so. Because when you met, is there anybody else in here besides me that you know if you were to die right now, you'd immediately go to be with God in heaven? I mean, you know it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Like if you died in the next 5 minutes, you'd go there? Yes? How about 5 days from now? How about 5 years from now? Now. But there's some in this room that don't know that. And there's some in this room or in this that come here that think they know that. They think they're going to heaven, but they're not. And it's not because what Harvey says. It's because of what God says. They don't know so. Why are people afraid to look at that? Because they have fear. Because they don't know. And they've tried doing what other churches told them. Remember when I gave my testimony and I said by the time I was 20, 6 different denominations had baptized me? I tried doing everything churches told me to do. I'd go there. I went through confirmation class. I went through catechism. I went and did Bible studies. I prayed with people. But nobody ever took me to the Word of God. They just told me their thoughts that they got from God instead of taking me to the Word of God. If a man and a woman are married and they get together and the seed passes from the man to the woman, birth occurs. There has to be seed. The Word says several times, but 1 Peter 1:23 that the Word of God, which is the seed of God, okay, it births people. It makes people born again. People are saved through the Word of God. People are born again through the Word of God. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to give you the references, but I'm just going to read these verses. I'm not waiting for you to turn there. John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus gives a definition for the word eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That was John 17:3. The next verse, Jeremiah 24, verses 6 and 7. God says, for I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This is God wanting us a real relationship. This is somebody knowing God in God's heart and letting us know that we can know Him. Even in the Old Testament, He was telling us this. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. But this shall be the covenant, the agreement that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. How? For I will pardon, I will forgive their iniquity, their perverseness, and I will remember their sin no more. The only way that could be done is you have to have a sacrifice that pays for the sin. And in the Old Testament, that they didn't understand that at the time, because they said every time we sin, we have to take another animal to the priest, lay our hands on it like we're making identifying that we're the ones that sinned, and we're making an offering. This is my offering. And then the priest would slit their throat and kill that animal. The blood had to be shed over and over and over again. God says, I'm going to forgive their iniquity, their perversity, and I'm going to remember their sin no more. Because Jesus is our final sacrifice. Jesus is the only sacrifice. Jesus said, it is finished. He paid for all of our sin. Brother Harvey, some of us know this. Why are you going over this? There's several reasons. One is because God told me. Two is because there's people in here that don't know God. Okay? They're not born again yet. And I don't want anyone to perish. I want everyone to know Jesus. And it starts by being born again. Okay? The Bible calls it being born again, or born from above, or born of God. You were born of a mother. How many of you have a birthday? And you celebrate it. I know that was hard for you, Nate. Next time I'll say it a little slower. Okay. All right. Now here we go. All right. Everybody has a birthday. What are you celebrating when you have a birthday? What? Your birth. Right. Your arrival. That you became alive to the physical. What Jesus said, you've been made alive to the physical. He said, but you need to become alive to the spiritual. You've become alive to this world. You need to become alive to God. Do you remember those of you that were born again? You remember when you were born again and how all of a sudden it's like you wanted to hear the word of God. You walked outside and all nature, you realized God made it and it was so beautiful. You've seen it like you've never seen it before. You remember that? Yeah. Boy, I remember that. Because they didn't tell me what was going to happen when I got saved. They just helped me get saved. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff started happening to me. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is like, wow, I had no idea. I didn't know. Because I'd done everything churches had told me how to do, and it hadn't helped me. Because nobody had really got me to the Word of God. Nobody had got me to Jesus. They just got me to do something outwardly. Oh. Got ahead of myself. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. God says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, that which you worship, will I cleanse you. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony, hard, selfish heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a tender heart of flesh. He says, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, my words, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Before you meet Jesus, you could try to live by the Ten Commandments or rules, and it's like you try, but it's not in your heart. You're doing it out of fear, because your parents helped you to develop fear to not do it. You know what I mean? But when you meet Jesus, he puts it inside of you, and now you have a desire to live for God. Before that, I have to go to church. My mom and dad said so. I'm sitting here. Okay, what am I supposed to get out of this? Okay, is it over yet? Are we there yet? Okay. But when you meet Jesus, it's like you want to be around God's people. You want to hear God's word. You want to be in God's house. You want to meet with God. You want to sing about God. You want God. Before that, it's like it's just something, you can take it or leave it. Normally leave it. And Like I tell people, before I met Jesus, all I got at church was cold, dead, and boring. Because when I went, it wasn't like God was there. As a matter of fact, after I've gotten saved, God's had me, I went to a church one time, I probably told you all this, 500 or 800 people, I don't remember, and I was sitting about right there, and they were doing their service, and I leaned over Steve, I leaned over to Jesus and said, Jesus, I feel like if I hadn't come here today, you wouldn't be here. And he leaned back to me and said, that's why I had you come. I hadn't been here in years. They got a bulletin. They don't need me. They just go through the motions. Well, do I got to stay? Nope. Thanks, Lord. So I left. I'm not just about going to a building or being there because it's Sunday. I want to meet with Jesus. And I'm going to challenge you on something. This isn't in my notes. I'm just challenging. This is free. Now pass another offering plate. I'm challenging you. You ready? Is this your church?
Yeah.
Do you want to meet with God?
Yeah.
Do you pray and ask God to come here?
Yeah.
Do you pray and ask God to prepare first your heart and then others' hearts? Yeah. Do you invite other people? Do you reach out to other people?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's what we need to do. Because it's about, I'm saying, I want everything God wants here. And you know what? I don't care how long I preach this chair, it ain't going to get saved. Okay? But if there was somebody here in it, maybe they would. You follow what I'm saying? We want to love them to Jesus. Okay? Just saying. Okay. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Let's see, where am I? I'm not there yet. Isaiah, and then we're going to do verse 21, just so you know. Even everyone, God says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. God said, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Are you a C? Are you a CH? Are you a CHRISTIAN? Because if you are, you'll go to heaven and you'll live for eternity. Are you a C? Are you a CH? Are you a CHRISTIAN? Are you? It's just a song. Okay. Isaiah 63:19. Listen to this. We are thine, but thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. There are people that don't know God. There are people that are on their way to hell. My heart is I don't want anyone to go there. I want everyone to go to heaven. But there are people that are on the way there. Listen to the difference. He says, we are thine. Let's just say Glenn is saying this. We are thine. I'm yours, God. But there's others. You never bear rule over them. They were never under your lordship. They never served you. They didn't follow you. They didn't submit to you. As a matter of fact, they were not called by thy name. What's his name? Jesus. Christ. So we're Christians. His name isn't Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus Christ. So we're Christians. Okay? You with me? We're called by his name. But there's those that say they're Christians, but they don't know God. How are they going to come to know God? I'm just asking. This is another challenge. How are they going to come to know God? The Word. But the Word I've heard several times that... See, the Word is the agency, the item God's going to use for them to get born again because they got to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The way they're going to come to know God is by us. Are we witnessing to people? Are we helping others to come to know Jesus? What if I ask you this? Do you have enough Jesus to give away? Good. Glad to hear that. All right. What makes one a Christian? What makes one a disciplined follower of Christ? What do you think? Okay. We got to start by being born again. But to be born again, you have to make a choice. Do you want God in your life? Do you even see that you have a need for God in your life? Have you ever said, I wish I could start over and live life differently? Have you ever said that? I wish I could just kind of like erase the past. I wish I could, this hadn't happened or that hadn't happened, or I wish I could start all over. Well, that's being born again. It's starting all over. You want to start all over? Did you start all over, Glenn, at 51? It was 51, wasn't it? And you got to start all over. Now, before that, you were existing. But before that, we wouldn't really call you a disciplined follower, would we? We would have called you a disciplined rebel, right? Right. I'm disciplined to be a rebel. Whatever they say, I'm going to do the opposite, right? Okay. And you know what? That's where we all were. Because we might have tried to be good. We might have tried to obey mommy and daddy, whatever. But you know what? In our heart was rebellion. What makes somebody a Christian? Let's look at verse 1 in chapter 3. We're going to do the first 7 verses today. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were a strict sect or group within the Jewish faith. And they had rules. They tried to live by the Old Testament, live by the law, live by what the Word says. But they also put rules and strict things on themselves, okay? But they didn't really have a relationship with God. It was more of an outward form because they would pray and they want everybody to see them. Oh, great, almighty God, thou that inhabitest eternity. They didn't pray like that when they were in private. They didn't even pray in private. It was an outward show. And here's this man, and he comes to Jesus, and it says in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. He came to Jesus at night time and said unto him, Rabbi, which is a term of respect, meaning teacher, master, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We've seen your miracles. We, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Pharisees, we have seen your miracles and we believe that you're sent from God. I don't think you'll find that term used about him was used anywhere else. It was talking about, I believe that you're the Messiah. That's what he was saying. But I need more information here. I'm looking for more. He came at nighttime because during the day, Jesus was thronged by the multitude. He had multitudes of people coming and going all the time. I mean, you know what? When God breaks out in healing here, like we had at the last church, when He breaks out in healing here, all people are going to be coming all the time, and you won't hardly be able to breathe, you know? I'm really glad we got a building. See, when we had it the last time, we had it in a house. I had to leave home to get a break because people just kept coming to our house all the time. Because when you have healing and stuff like that's going on, people are just like constantly coming to your house. They wouldn't leave us alone. Well, that's what was happening with Jesus. So this ruler, he was a ruler. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. He was a ruler of the Jewish nation, the people of God. But he wanted to get to Jesus and all these people around him. And he didn't really want to go to him, probably, with all these people around him, because he didn't feel like he'd get his attention. And he had questions. He's like, I'm believing that you're the Messiah. I'm believing that you were sent by God as the one that was going to deliver us, deliver Israel. You're the promised one we've been looking for throughout hundreds of years. We've been looking for you. And he came and said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he comes to him at night, gets Jesus' personal attention. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily. Whenever you see that verily, verily, it means truly, truly, or of a truth, or I am making a solemn oath here. In other words, I am making a statement in the presence of God that this is a truth. You know, like, put your hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? It's like that. That's where we get that from. And Jesus says, I am making a solemn oath here. And I'm saying unto you personally, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this guy, Nicodemus, who was a leader of like a church, but not a church, but a synagogue, but like what we would know as a church. He's a leader. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus said, except a man be born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And he's going, but I know the scriptures. I've got them memorized. I teach this. People follow me. And Jesus said, except a man be born again. Now Nicodemus is not a spring chicken. He's been around for a while. He's older. And he says in verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? How do I do this? How does somebody get born again? Because all of a sudden Jesus is telling him something that he's not used to hearing. I want you to notice how Jesus dealt with this man. I've told you all before in Genesis 1:1, God's a troublemaker. It says, in the beginning, God, he starts everything. Some of y'all wonder, Brother Harvey, sometimes you say stuff, it just irritates me. Sometimes you say stuff, it just troubles me. It ruffles me. You always ask me questions. I can walk up to any one of you and ask a question, and you ought to see your face. I mean, just because I do it. I've done it with about every one of you. And I ask you questions for a reason. Jesus taught me to do that, and he wired me this way. It's to make you think. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, or you can just listen. Hebrews 10, 24. I want you to listen to the verse. And let us consider one another. I'm considering you. To provoke. We're on the playground. We're both kids. Now, it would probably be the other way around. What? What? Provoke one another. Here, knock it off my shoulder. Bam! Okay, cross this line. Did you ever do that when you were a kid? You know, and you get in a fight? Unfortunately, they didn't wait so long. They just dropped me. Bam! You know? But provoke, the Bible says, thanks, guy. I want you to listen to the verse, and let us consider one another. Because I consider you, it says, let us provoke unto love and to good works. When I ask you a question, it's to challenge you, get you out from just where you are, because you haven't arrived yet, right? You're not Christ yet, correct? It's to help you get closer to Jesus. So I ask you questions, but it makes you uncomfortable. Well, if it makes you uncomfortable, maybe you'll move. Okay? That's what Jesus did with Nicodemus here. He's like, I already know the scriptures. I've got it memorized. I've got the whole Old Testament. I got it memorized. I'm a teacher. I've got my credentials. Can't you see them? They call me by rabbi. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus knew that this man was a learned ruler, a leader of God's people. Jesus Christ, our Lord, challenged Nicodemus' thinking. He incited him. He caused him to think. He irritated him. I just wanted you to see, I'm not the only one who did this. I got this from somebody, okay? I'm following somebody's lead. Okay. Verse 4, Nicodemus goes, How can a man be born again? How can he do that? Jesus challenged him, made him think. Jesus presented a second birth. That was something they could do. See, you could do stuff in the flesh. You could get baptized without being saved. You could go and get baptized and that didn't save you. You can go and do ceremonial washings. That's what the Pharisees did, was they would go through all these ceremonies and wear long robes and wear bells and stuff, and they would make a show in front of people. They would pray loud and long in public. You'll find that in Matthew 6, where he said, don't do that. Okay? They did all kinds of things to be seen. That's what religion is. You can do something on the outside to make yourself feel better. I'm gonna put money in. See, I feel good about this. I put money in. I want you to know I'm putting money in. Okay, see? And making a show of it. That doesn't mean it's what's really in your heart. Just because you got a loud horn doesn't mean you got gas in the tank. Okay? You follow me? I mean, you get me? What's inside? Relationship with God changes you. Just get this. Relationship with God changes you from the inside out. Religion tries to change you from the outside in. They try to get you to do different. Wear nice clothes. You go to most churches. Do you know why I wear what I wear? For years, we wore suits and ties and wingtip shoes because, you know, I want to be right with God. So you got to wear wingtip shoes if you're a man, you know? You think I'm kidding? I mean, that's what basically, if you didn't wear those and you went to Bible college, everybody else did. You didn't fit in. You weren't one of the penguins. You know what I mean? You know, you were a duck. So you had to dress like everybody else. You know what I mean? You had to wear the suit and the tie and the whole trip. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, lately I've been thinking, Lord, I'd like to dress up sometimes, you know, that'd be fine. Not too much, but sometimes, you know. But I remember back around, it must have been around 93 when we brought Steve to Jesus. And I was praying. God was teaching me about praying about everything. And I said, God, what do you want me to wear to church today? And he said, I want you to wear jeans. Well, when he first said that, I thought he misunderstood my question, you know. God, you must have misunderstood me. I said, what do you want me to wear? I'm figuring, which suit do you want me to wear? The brown one or the black one or the striped one or whatever it was, you know. I used to wear plaid and all kinds of stuff. It's okay. God loved me anyway. And he said, I want you to wear jeans. I said, jeans? I said, Lord, we don't wear jeans. He goes, I know, but I want you to. He says, when you're all dressed up on the outside, he said, people always said, when you go to church and people are all dressed up, he said, have you noticed how people are all like comparing to one another? And that's what they're focused on, is the outside. He said, I want to get deeper than the outside. I want to get down into the heart. He said, and I don't want you putting on a show, and I don't want you making a big deal about that. Brother DBJ was asking me yesterday about somebody that is a TV preacher. I'm pretty sure they're on TV. But they're a big name. If I named them, you would know who it is. And they preach this message about giving money and getting money, and it's called prosperity preaching. And, you know, about being rich, and you're a child of the king. You ought to dress like a king and have all this stuff. And he said, what do you think about what they're teaching? I said, well, what they're teaching, the principle is right. They said that the way it all started for them was they were dirt poor. They didn't have enough money to pay attention, you know? And they said, God, what are we doing wrong? And they said that God told them that the principle over in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. He said, because they said we were tithing and whatever, but it wasn't happening. And God said, you need to start asking me. So I ask God for things all the time and I get them. And I told Brother DBJ, I said, God blesses us. We live in a real nice house. I make good income. I own several vehicles. I mean, we do well financially. I'm thankful for that. I mean, there's been times that some of y'all, Tom, can remember when we didn't have enough, to even buy groceries or whatever, I mean, there was times in our life like that. But I learned a principle, James 4:2, and I'm telling you this. There's things that God says in this word of how for you to be blessed in your life. And one of the ways to be blessed in your finances is you need to trust God with your finances and quit trusting Uncle Sam or quit depending on the government to take care of you. And what you need to do, the way you trust God, it's not like when I have enough money, I'll start tithing. It's I'm going to trust God when I don't have it because the word says for me to do it. And I'm going to either prove that God is telling the truth or he's a liar. Did the preacher really say that? Yeah. Pay attention. Is God telling the truth or is he a liar? And so what I'm saying is, then let's prove him. Let's quit saying it and let's do it. But there's something else. You could be tithing and still your money not be blessed because there's principles about what he wants you to do with your money. If you're always eating out, you're going to spend more. Or if you're traveling all the time. The Bible says when you travel, you spend a lot more money. Have you ever noticed that? When you travel, you spend a whole lot more than when you do when you're around home. You don't know because you don't travel, but I do. And I know if I go to go somewhere, it costs a whole lot more to travel. Okay? Well, there's principles of what you need to do. There's one I'm going to just tell you right now, James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. When my business, I advertise and do whatever, but only so much business comes in. When I'm saying, Lord, I need more business, when I see I need more business, I ask him to give me more business. Guess what happens? I get more business. Sometimes I get so busy doing all the business he gave me, I don't even ask him. And then I start running out of business, and all of a sudden I realize, hey, I don't have business ahead. God, I need business again. Guess what he does? Gives me more business. I didn't get it because I didn't ask for it. If you come over to my house to eat and you need the salt, you're not going to get it unless you ask for it. Specifically, my kids learned. When my kids would say, pass the salt, I pass it to anyone but them because they didn't say to pass it to them. They just said, pass the salt. So I passed it anywhere but them. The reason I did that was because I wanted them to learn. I wasn't trying to be funny or be a little snot or whatever the word is. Okay? I did it because I was trying to help them to learn that you get what you ask for. You need to ask specifically. People say to me, I'll tell them how God answers my prayers. And I say, I see God's prayers answered all the time. And they'll say, well, I don't. And I say, well, how do you pray? God bless America. I said, he already did. What do you want? I said, you pray specifically and you see specific answers. I pray for certain things and I get those certain. Do me a favor. Write it down. I want to stop in the middle. Okay? But I'm glad you got a response. That's good. Let's get back to being born again. Jesus challenged Nicodemus and made him think. Jesus presented a second birth. This man already knew what he knew. I'm challenging you today. I hope I got every eyeball in this place. You already know what you know. But today, are you willing to let God search your heart and say, hey, am I born again? When did I get born again? When was I delivered from the fear of death? Glenn? When I met Jesus, ever since then, I've not been afraid to die. And before that, I was scared to death. Okay? I was scared of death. And ever since July 1st, 1976, I've never been afraid to die. When were you delivered from the fear of death? When did you meet Jesus? See, you know what you know, but when you're in here and you're hearing, or you're in here and you're talking, are you looking at it as, what do I know? Or what is it I don't know that I need to get? Jesus says to Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And he goes, I know this whole book. What are you talking about? I'm a leader. What are you talking about? I do all the law. Nobody can say, convict me and say I'm doing wrong. I'm doing everything right. And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you something you can't do. Because you've got to be born by the Holy Spirit into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, I don't get it. How can a man be born when he's old? He says, do I go back and get in my mother's womb again? That's right. It ain't happening. No, okay. All right, we're good. Too much information. Jesus is said to be born again or born from above. I want you to look in verse 5 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am solemnly telling you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He says, you've got to be born physically and you've got to be born spiritually. He said, there's two births. You have a birthday because there was a time you were born into this world. How many of you have heard me say, I'm glad you were born? I say that for a reason. Because I am glad you were born. I want you to know that I love you. I appreciate you. I'm glad you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And I'm glad He put you in my life. Because that's God's plan, and you helped meet a need in my life. So I'm glad you were born. Now what we need to have is someone say, I'm glad you were born again. I'm glad that you came to know Jesus. You know about Him. I've heard this. I know all these words. But are you born again? If you died right now, I am just challenging you. If you died right this minute and stood before God, is there anybody that knows you're going to be alive tomorrow? I've got too much to do, Brother Harvey. I can't die today, you know.
I haven't even gotten a job.
Okay, see, I know what you mean. I've had too many. Okay. If you were to die today, and you stood before God, and He said, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Part of the reason God has me teaching this, preaching this, is for you that are born again. Number one, so you go back and you start, it makes you love Jesus more, realizing where you would be without Him. Realizing what He had to go through for you to get born again. And then, reminding you how someone's born again so that maybe you're going to start seeing other people through Jesus' eyes and realizing, where is this person going to spend eternity? I can't see anybody without thinking, where are they going to spend eternity? That's how I think. When I meet people, it's like if they come in contact in my life in any way. Yesterday I was telling Brother DBJ a story. And I said, and I met this guy. And I said, I was talking to him, that two-hour guy on the phone. And I said, and I could tell he wasn't saved, and or I could tell, you know, he had some issues or whatever. I said, but I liked him. And he said, who don't you like? And I was trying to think. I can't think of him. You know? It's like I meet people, and as soon as I meet somebody, I care for them. Because I told God He could love them through me. He wants to do the same in you. He wants to do the same through you. Because, Justin, I don't know the guys you work with. Jackie, I don't know the people at the vet place. I don't know all those people at Meijer over there. I don't know them. I don't know all the people that the furnaces you go into and deal with, but you do. We need to have a God consciousness. We need to realize everybody needs to be born again. We need to have that on the forefront of our mind because, hey, do you know somebody that's died?
Oh, plenty.
Where did they go? But is there some that you that have died, you're not sure where they went? And if you're not, just read the newspaper any day, and you'll see it's full of people that died. Where did they go? Unfortunately, the majority don't go to heaven. I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't want that to happen during my watch. You know? Jesus says, you need to be born, verse 5, of water and of the Spirit. When a woman has a baby, she breaks her water, it's a natural birth. She births somebody into the physical realm. God puts a spirit in a body. Boom, they're born. They become alive to the physical. Jesus said, now you got to also become born of the Spirit. You need to be born of God's Spirit. You need to be born of the Spirit, or you can't enter into the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be amazed. Don't sit there with your mouth hanging open. That I said unto thee, you must be born again. There's two ways to be born. One is born of the flesh. One is born of the Spirit. When you're born of the flesh, you're born into somebody's family. You're like them. You live like them. You think like them. You look like them. And you're alive to this physical realm. Hear, taste, touch, smell, seeing. But do you remember, those of you that are not born again, those of you that are born again, do you remember before you were born again? You remember how you weren't alive to God? You didn't care about God? It was like you could take Him or leave Him. But when you met Him, it wasn't that way. All of a sudden, you became alive to Him. You wanted Him. When did that happen in your life? I'm asking each individual in here. When did that happen in your life? I'm not asking you to yell it out right now. If you wanted, during any of the next services until you go home, I'm talking about heaven, you could get up and give a testimony when you met Jesus. I think it would be neat if everybody in this place got up and gave a testimony. Every week we had somebody give a testimony. When did you meet Jesus? Have y'all heard my testimony? I could tell you my testimony. I know. A number of you could tell my testimony. I used to have a guy going around telling my testimony. I have some of y'all here tell my testimony. But I used to have a guy when I worked at GM used to go around tell my testimony. And he was a song leader at our church. And one day somebody that he had told about my testimony said, "You're Harvey? I heard about you." He said, "You were a drug dealer, and then you met Jesus. You were reading the Bible." And I go, "How'd you know that? I don't remember ever meeting you before." He said, "Oh, this other guy, he told me about it." His name was Bobby. Bobby Ayat. And I went to Bobby, and I said, "Bobby, why do you go around and give people my testimony?" He said, "Because you got a better testimony than me." I said, "Did you meet Jesus? Did you meet the same Jesus? How do I have a better testimony?" He said, "Well, yours is exciting." I said, "Well, what's your testimony?" Here was his testimony. He said, "I was raised in a Christian home. All my family is the main church family. I mean, everybody was connected to the Ayats, our church, okay? They were the main family. The Ayats and the Chafees, okay? And they all intermarried and stuff. So it was just, you know. And he said, "So I grew up in a Christian home." And I don't mean, no, not like that. It was two different families, you know, main families and boys married the girls over here and the other way around. Man, sorry I had to break that down for you. But anyway, some of y'all were just having a problem, man. And it's like, okay. So I said, Bobby, how'd you meet Jesus? He said, well, I was raised in a Christian home. I always went to church. We sang in church. He said, and at 5 years old, I heard preaching. And he says, and I went up to the altar and crying, and somebody led me to Jesus, and I got saved. And he said, so I grew up, so I've always been in church, always being a good boy, always obeying and doing stuff. And he says, and I know I was a little bit of a rascal, he said, but I never got in like a lot of trouble like you. You know, I didn't do all this bad stuff like you. And I started crying. And he said, why are you crying? And I said, because I've asked God many times, God, why did I not get saved until I was 20? I was sincere as I can be. I did everything my mom and dad told me. I obeyed, I went to church, I did what they taught me, I went through confirmation class, went through catechism class, I did everything. I went to different churches, I went through Boy Scouts, and I went to their church, the one that the Scoutmaster asked me to go to. I went to other Bible studies, and I said, I did everything they told me, but no one ever told me how to know you. And I said, it breaks my heart that here's this guy who met you at 5 years old, and I had 20 years of not knowing you, and he's going around telling everybody my testimony instead of his, and I wish I had his testimony. And I was crying while I'm telling him this. I think he started crying.
Was that your testimony?
I am so glad I met him. I just want everybody else to know him. And I wished I could have met him before. I wish I hadn't gone through all the things that I've gone through in my life. But one thing God said to me when I asked him, why didn't I get saved till this time? He said, Harvey, look at all the things you went through. Now look at all the people that I've been able to reach through you. Because if I talk to anybody, I can relate to them because I've been a sinner. I mean, you name it, I've done it bad. And I can relate to them. And God said, because of that, you can reach a lot of people. You see, we need to be telling people how we met Jesus. Because everybody around us needs him. Do you not understand that every single person wants to be loved, believed in, accepted, and wanted for who they are instead of what they do? Isn't that what you want? What you want is Jesus. You just don't term it as Jesus. The world doesn't term it as Jesus. What they're looking for is God. They're looking to be eternally loved and accepted for who they are, not what they do. They want somebody to want them just like they are, to love them enough right like they are, without them having to change. Loving them just like they are. Somebody to want to include them. Somebody to believe in them. See, I believe in you, but now you have choices to make, but I believe in you. And that's what everybody wants, is to be believed in. And most places you go, they're not getting that. And so they're looking for things. So that's why everybody will wear the earrings and the, you know, get all pierced and tattooed and stuff, because they hang out whoever they hang out with. I used to have an earring, this side. Used to have an earring because the people I was around, they wore earrings. It was back when it seems like it first started. I don't know if it first started then, but, you know, long time ago, 40 years ago or something like that. What? I'm old enough. Do you have a birthday that you celebrate? When were you born into God's family? When did you arrive into God's family? When were you born again? Jesus said, don't be amazed, don't be shocked that I say unto thee that you must be born again. Do you know how someone gets born again? The Holy Spirit works in somebody's heart. It's not like a formula I can give you. You do these certain things and you get born again. Number one, God works in your heart and begins to deal in you. Do you realize that you're a sinner? But that God loves you. See, God loves you, whether you ever choose Him or not. But God can't let you into heaven. God can't bless your life when you're a rebel. God can't bless when you want sin more than you want the Savior. God can't bless that. He says, but I love you and I'm pursuing you. I love you. I want you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to bless you. I want to heal you. I want to bless your finances. But Wayne, let's take Wayne for example. He does not walk down through his neighborhood with a wad of money and say, oh, I can see you have a need. Here's $200 to go fix it. And go to the next house. Oh, you need a new car. Here's $1,000. Go get a car. And he goes to the next house. Oh, you need yard work and stuff. Here's $200 or $300. Wayne doesn't do that. Wayne meets the needs of his own family. Wayne will do what God tells him to do to reach out to people, but only as God tells him. Do you understand? God is not going to bless somebody else's children. You have to be born to become a child. You have to be born again to become a child of God. Before that, you are a creation of God. Everybody in this room is a creation of God. If you've been born again, you were transferred from being a creation to becoming a child. God chose to make you a creation. You choose if you're wanting to be born again. How do you get born again? You've got to want God. That means you need to want light and life and truth and love. Not darkness and hate and selfishness and whatever. Whatever the other ones would be. What? Lies. Whatever the opposites. But being born again is not you changing. Being born again is saying, I am a sinner and God is good and I want Him, but how do I get to God? Because sin blocks me from God. How do I get to God? I wish this thing was not nailed up here, whereas maybe it's not. So, what we're going to do, how do I get to God? I get to God through the bridge of the cross of Jesus. This is how I can get to God. Because I have no other way to get to God except through the cross and the blood of Jesus. It's like there's this great gulf between me and God. And there's no way to get to God without Jesus. So what I do is Jesus bids me come and I say, but I'm a sinner. And He says, I know. So I died in your place. I created myself a body. I never sinned, so I don't have to die. And then I said, Father, treat me as if I'm every one of them. Treat me as if I'm Harvey. Give me what Harvey deserves. And God put all my sin on Him. And that's when Jesus cried out, my God, my God. He didn't say my Father. He says, my God, because He was identifying with us. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The reason God had to turn away, the Father had to turn away from the Son, is because our sin was put on Him. And it broke fellowship between Him and the Father. Do you get it? And my sin was put on Jesus because Jesus loved me so much. And He says, now, you want to get to God? Come through the cross. And I said, but what if I try straightening up? And He says, that ain't going to get you there. He says, you can be a corpse and you can be straightened up. He said, that ain't going to get you there. What if I turn over a new leaf? Well, see, I turned over so many new leaves, I had to rake my backyard. It ain't turning over a new leaf. What if I start going to church? He said, well, when you go in your garage, do you become a car? He said, just because you go in a church building don't make you a Christian. Going in a building isn't it. And then Jesus made an amazing statement in John 14:6. And he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man, no woman, comes unto the Father but by me. So this is the only way to get to God? And Jesus said, yes, by my cross. So I get to God by coming through Jesus. Have you gotten to God? Have you come by way of the cross? Have you trusted? Have you depended? Because there's a great gulf fixed between you and God. And the only way to get there, that's what God did. He took the cross and he said, okay, the only way, he's on the other side. He says, the only way to get to me, he said, come on, come across the bridge. It's the only bridge, and it's the cross of Jesus. You must be born again. And it comes through Jesus. God dealing in your heart. God dealing inside of you. I'm a sinner and there's nothing I can do. I need you, Jesus. I want God. I know I deserve. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. I can't change. I could try straightening up, but I can change my clothes. I can wash real good. I still, in my heart, am a sinner. How do I get right with God? How do I get forgiveness? How do I get this load? How do I change? And God says, all you have to do is admit that you're the sinner. Admit that you're the sinner. I believe, let me look up this verse. Give me a second. I had it right here. Is this it? Psalm 51. You can open your Bible to the middle. It's the book of Psalms. Or you can just listen. Psalm 51, verse 4 verses. Have mercy upon me, O God. Please don't let me get what I deserve. According to your loving kindness. According unto the multitude or the great number of your tender mercies. Please blot out. Please take white out. My transgressions, where I've rebelled, where I've gone beyond the limits. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, my perverseness, how I've perverted what's right. Cleanse me from my sin, from the way I've offended you. Here's how you get saved. For I acknowledge my transgressions. I acknowledge my rebellion, my revolt, how I've revolted against you. It's all about me, what I want, what I think, what I feel. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and God, my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only, God, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Because you're justified, you're righteous when you speak, and you're clear when you judge. I'm not. I'm guilty. God, I'm guilty, and there's nothing I could do about it. That's what I did in my life. I'm reading the Bible. I'm a drug dealer. I'm smoking a joint, reading the Bible, put the joint out, read the Bible. I saw everybody come to Jesus. How do I get to Jesus? What do I do about all this sin? I've gone to church where they told me to go forward and pray and ask God to forgive me. Go in a little box and ask God to forgive me. There's got to be more because it didn't do it. It made me feel a little good until I got about 5 steps away. How do I get this taken care of? He said, that's you doing something outwardly. He said, you need to admit there's nothing you can do. that you have the heart of a sinner. And you need to ask me to forgive you of that heart, wash that. And he says, what I'm going to do is take out of you that hard, selfish, worldly-minded heart. And I'm going to give you my heart. And you're going to want things that are true and right and light and love. You see what I'm saying? That's being born again. Starting all over. This time you're starting all over with Jesus. And what he makes clean gets clean. He says, now, the only way to get to God is through the cross. You want to get to God? It's the only way. Jesus on the cross for you. God, I can't do it. I believe you love me. You, Jesus, are God in a body. And you died on the cross for me. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm accepting what you did was for me. I'm trusting in you. I'm asking you to change me. Everybody bow their heads, would you? I want to share something with you. God had me write this down. I'm going to read it to you. Almighty God loves each and every one of us personally. God loves you personally. But our sin our sin separates us from a holy God. He knows that we've been deceived by sin and trapped in it. We've even chosen sin. The problem is every sin has to be paid for, and the payment, the only payment, is death, eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. So Jesus, God, left heaven to remove our sin block, that which separates us from God. If we don't want sin and we want Jesus, then take our sin and give it to Jesus and let him deal with it. Jesus, I can't change this, but Jesus, I want you. Will you forgive me and will you change me, because I want to follow you? Then choose Jesus to fill you with his life and love where sin was before. I want you to, God, help me write out a prayer. I'm going to read this prayer. If this is in your heart, I want you to pray with me. But you don't have to pray out loud. You could pray out loud. I would. But you don't have to. But I want you to hear the prayer. But right before I do that, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to be with God in heaven? Raise your hand. If you're 100% sure you'd go to be with God right now, 100% sure, I know I'd go to heaven. Thank you for being honest. Put your hands down. Now I'm asking the other way. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, but you would like to know that, would you raise your hand? Because I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Please. Eyes closed. Head. Please raise your hand. I saw several hands, but is there anybody else? Thank you. Over there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I lift these up. I want to thank you for those that do know. I am so thankful. And God, I've seen evidence in many of them. And I'm so thankful. And Lord, these that raise their hand that don't know, Lord, it's because they're saying, God, I want to know. And they're being honest. And I just want to tell you how blessed I am that you're honest and that you're humble enough to admit, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want to be right with God. And I thank you for raising your hand. And God, I'm lifting them up. And I'm asking that you would work in their heart, give them hope, help them to see that you love them, that you, this is their day. Today could be the first day of the rest of their life. And they're now living with you. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open their eyes, convict them, but open their eyes and help them. Make this real inside of them as we're talking. May this become alive to them. Thank you, Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to pray this prayer. God, have me write down. I'm going to say it in short little phrases. If you understand and you believe this is what you want, I want you to pray it with me. Matter of fact, I'm going to suggest that you pray it out loud, because Jesus was not ashamed to publicly hang on the cross for you. The Bible says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. If this is your prayer, I'm going to pray it. It's about helping you to get to God through Jesus. Are you ready? Jesus, I believe that you are God in the flesh. I understand that you actually love me and personally care about me. So you prepared yourself a body to live in, so you could take my place and get what I deserve, taking all my sin and nailing it to your cross. And there you died for me. But after 3 days, you rose from the dead. Jesus, I needed you to die for me. Thank you. Please forgive me for all of my sin and for causing your death. This moment, I now accept you, Jesus, as my own Savior. And I want you to be my Lord and my God. I really want to know you more personally and to live with you each day. My choice is to be a devoted disciple of you, Jesus, and honor you with my life and choices, because I want truth, light, honesty, righteousness, and love. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, if you pray it, or, you know, where you accepted Christ today, asking him to forgive you of your sin, and this is the first time you've ever done that, or something happened inside of you, I want you to come and talk to me right after church, and because I just want to give you a hug. And I want everybody to look up here. I love you. I want to challenge you with a thought that goes beyond this, but I want to challenge you with a thought. Why do you believe and do what you do? Why do you believe what you believe? I ask a girl who goes to Grand Valley State University. She's a teller at the bank where I am. She said she's a Christian. And somehow I said something about, oh, I was wearing a little, I voted the other day. And I asked her, did she vote? And she says, well, I'm not really registered, but I really don't know who to vote for because I don't know what's right. And without going through the whole thing, I said to her, what do you base your life on? What is your standard of what's right and wrong? And she just looked at me. So I'm asking you, what do you base your life on? What is your standard of what's right and wrong? Because when I mentioned a couple of things, she started telling me, well, I don't think that way, and I don't really see it that way. And I said, well, where did you get those thoughts? And she couldn't answer. I said, didn't you say you're a Christian? She said, yeah. I said, well, what do you think about this book? She couldn't answer that either. What makes somebody a Christian? So what I'm going to ask you is, what are you doing? Where is this book in your life? If I asked you about something in your life, what does this have to say about it? We now know, don't we? Because we're reading good, right? Okay, right. Isn't that cool, though? I know it. It's just like, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. I love reading the Word, man. What do you base your life on? What do you base what's right or wrong on? Can I challenge you to read the Word every day? If you read one chapter, that's great. If you can read three or more, that's great too. It's even better. But just read at least one chapter a day and let God talk to you. Begin to ask yourself, why do I do what I do? Why do I believe what I believe? Where did I get it from? Okay? I love you.